Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01, and we have our guest, Alice Rooney, in the studio today. And she is here to talk about Harriet's Helpers, also known as Hospice of Wrangell. So you can call any time during this conversation to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Alice, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, June.
Yeah. So I know that you all are making a push for volunteers, and we'll get into that. But just go ahead and tell me a little bit about the mission of hospice and some of the local history of the program here.
Okay. In about 2001, a group of us got together and organized Hospice of Wrangell as a volunteer, nonprofit, non-medical group of people to help and support people at end of life who are frail or at end of life with volunteer activities, non-medical. And we were led by the Harriet Schirmer, who was the doctor at that time and who is now retired and then passed away, who was the guiding light of our group for many, many years. That's how we came to have the name Harriet's Helpers, because Hospice of Wrangell is kind of intimidating to a lot of people. Hospice is kind of a scary word for many people. So Harriet's Helpers is what we decided we were going to name ourselves in honor of her.
Okay, and yeah, so this started up in 2001, and like you said, it has a volunteer base versus this medical base. Can you give me a sense of kind of how that plays out for our community and for the people you help? You know, how would it look different if it was medical base versus volunteer
okay.
base?
Many people are aware of a Medicare program that will cover hospice services, in which nurses and social workers and aide will go into a person's home and support a family taking care of a loved one in the home, and will provide administration of pain medication, will provide some help with bathing, will provide emotional support, spiritual support. All those kinds of services are covered under Medicare, and it's very, very helpful for people. It can also be done in an institution, a nursing home or in a special hospice facility. Our program, we are not able to do that kind of pain control or anything like that, but we can do respite care, we can provide new errands, we can help with the gardening, we can help prepare meals or organize meals, we can do whatever it is to support a family at caring for a loved one in the home. Or if someone is living alone, we have had times where we've gone in on a daily basis to help somebody who's living alone, who is at end of life, before they had to go into the hospital for end of life. Sometimes we get involved for a period of years if someone is frail, and we'll just kind of establish a relationship and go in once or twice a week and just be an extra person and a support person.
And so that's what it kind of looks like, the difference. But, you know, and this might be apparent because we live on an island, but, you know, why do we not have medical hospice services, or do we?
We've been fortunate, and I'll say this kind of informally, but we've been fortunate in Wrangell that there have been times when some of our wonderful nurses would just go kind of on their own time and help somebody at home and provide some training or whatever for family under their nursing license, but it was not a consistent thing. It's the problem with home health, and I know that Search has come in. Search is working on establishing a licensed home health program in Sitka, and when they get that up and running, then hopefully they will establish that in Wrangell under that same license. So we would have that ability of a nurse to go into a home. We tried it in Wrangell at one point to have the home nursing, and the paperwork was very onerous and it was very cumbersome. It didn't work out. We just didn't have the population base to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. That makes sense. So thank you for that. And yes, so I think people know hospice pretty well, but maybe you can lay out, you know, What is the real mission of hospice? We understand who it serves, but I don't think people exactly know what is the point.
Hospice is a philosophy. It's the basic of allowing someone to live in as comfortably as possible and having as much control as possible at the end of life. It's not a matter of extending life as long as possible with medical intervention. It's a matter of making it as comfortable as possible and having the person be in control and feel that they are having a quality of life as much as possible.
Okay. And then before we get into volunteer opportunities, can you give me a sense of, you know, how many clients you have served over the years? You know, what does that look like? Or how many clients are you ever serving at one time?
It fluctuates quite a bit. And I think the last few years, because we have had not as many volunteers, we haven't had as many clients. And sometimes we may only serve somebody for a week or two. In the past, we had situations we were serving people for a period of years. So I can't give you any specific number. I haven't done that, but I would say several dozen at least.
Yeah. You're saying over the years or within a year or?
Over the years.
Yeah, several dozen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understood.
Many people in Wrangell have good family support systems already. Awesome family support systems. We're family and friends. We know each other. We care for each other. And it really impresses me to see how family will step in and support a loved one or a neighbor or a friend or whatever at end of life and provide good support. But we have those situations where that's not always available, or situations where there's complicating factors. Maybe there's family dynamics that are a little awkward or something, and it's really good to have that outside person come in.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I'm really curious about is, you know, how do you find these people? Like, how does your client base grow? Yeah.
Yeah. We're working on this point. We've drafted a memorandum of agreement with Search, and hopefully that will help clarify some of the referrals that we get from the clinic and the hospital. It has been a matter of sometimes we know people. We'll approach somebody in the family and say, hey, would you like us to get involved? We always need the consent of the client, the patient himself, and also the primary, if they're the primary caregiver, we need the consent of both those people before we can officially get involved. So referrals have come from a variety of sources. Sometimes we'll get a call, someone from a hospital down south will say someone's being discharged back to Wrangell and they need hospice support. We'll explain we're volunteer, and they say, okay, we'll take whatever we can get.
Yeah, I believe that, definitely. Okay, then if you're just now tuning in, the time is 1:10. We have Alice Rooney in the studio talking about Hospice of Wrangell, also known as Harriet's Helpers. And when we come right back, we'll learn more about volunteer opportunities. So, see ya in 1 second. All right, we are back. The time is 1:11. So, Alice, I know that you all are making a push for some more volunteers to join you all and to get them trained in all the different facets of hospice care. So just give me a sense of what is the need in our community.
We have a lot of older population. I mean, our population is aging in Wrangell, and we have a lot of situations in which we have family caregivers who are really struggling to deal with someone who is older and becoming more frail. We hope we can maybe get involved in that. We have situations at the hospital where someone may be dying. There's a real movement now called No One Dies Alone, in which, you know, just providing that kind of 24 hours, somebody sitting by the bedside so that nobody has to sit in a room alone in the hospital or to lie in a room alone in the hospital as they're dying. So we'd like to be able to do some of that. Those are the two primary concerns we have.
Yeah, definitely. And What is the kind of person you're looking for or you think might be good at this?
Okay. The requirement, they have to be 18 or older, and be able to establish what we call good boundaries. That's a real critical issue for us. And boundaries are basically not getting over-involved or so you get so caught up in a situation that you feel like you can solve it all yourself and taking it on yourself and being able to sort of maintain a little sense of detachment. We also request that they not have had a traumatic death of a loved one within the last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Tell me why that particular requirement.
Okay. If you have had the loss of someone really close to you within the last year, and it's a traumatic death, you're still very emotionally caught up in that. And it's really hard to focus on the needs of another person without saying, oh, yeah, I feel that too, or oh, I'm going through that too, or whatever, because you are still very much going through a lot of the grieving process. And it takes a little time to develop that distance. Of course, we'd evaluate that on a situational basis, but that's generally our guideline, is that 1 year time.
Yeah. So I love the two things that you mentioned, the sense of boundaries and just not making your client's issues about you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the very brief stint that I had in social work, you know, I learned that you want empathetic people to do this job, but empathetic people, you know, while they care the most about other people, it seems like they can have a hard time saying, you know, I can't solve all the problems, or they can have a hard time saying no to somebody, you know, just based on the resources that they have. So I think that's a really good point to make.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like somebody that feels like this work is important, that they have the skills or want to learn the skills.
And the time. I mean, it's good to have people that are flexible. Sometimes people can only give a couple of hours a week, and that may be something that could be, I mean, might meet a need. Or someone who's flexible and could give a little bit more time when time is needed.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people that are retired. It's a wonderful volunteer opportunity for people who have retired and want to give back something and be able to really support some of their neighbors and friends in the time of need.
Absolutely. All right. So give me a sense of what exactly volunteers will be doing.
Okay. Well, we have a volunteer coordinator who at this point is me, and hopefully if we grow the program a little bit more, we can sort of have someone else take over that role. But the volunteer coordinator is the person who basically meets with a potential client and the family and says, okay, what can we offer? And we set up a potential schedule, perhaps maybe once a week or every day or whatever it might be. And then kind of works out the tasks that might be done, whether it's driving someone to errands or just visiting, you know, just going a couple times a week or going a couple times a month even and just visiting. We've done things like a life history, which is really an exciting project. If you have time with someone, is to get a lot of their stories on tape and then transcribe them and print them up in a little booklet or something. And I remember one lady we did that for. We wrote a little book of her life stories, and we had a book signing party, and it was a wonderful time for her and her family. So different things like that we can do to be creative, you know, writing down stories that would be memorials for the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren.
Yeah, that's a very cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it sounds like there's day-to-day tasks and there's ways to connect with your client. I mean, what are some of maybe the more difficult situations that maybe somebody's thinking, oh, I want to volunteer, but but they need to get a full grasp of like, well, this is what could be happened. This is, these are things that you could be tasked with.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can think of potentially a lot of difficult situations if you've got, you know, a family situation where there's relatives that are feeling very resentful. There's a lot of issues going on, and maybe there's substance abuse or something like that. That could be pretty sticky. But the volunteer coordinator is the person who's got the skill to kind of be aware of that and kind of be the backup person and consultant and pull somebody out if that's necessary. So we just kind of, so it's a very structured, you're not just out there on your own. You have the support.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so, yeah, so there's definitely a lot of different activities that volunteers will be doing with their clients. And we know.
And some people may have special skills that would be more helpful than others. Some people are really, really good and they don't mind helping with some house cleaning. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, if that's what you're good at and you're interested in, that's great. If you really are good at sitting and listening and just being there, or maybe you are, you know, we can help you. You may have to help somebody transfer, you know, do a transfer to get up out of the bed into the chair or into the wheelchair or to the toilet or whatever. We'll evaluate you. If you're able to do that and you're trained to do that, then that's great. If you're not, then we'll have you do other situations too. So whatever we have, whatever your skills are, we can use them.
All right. And then I understand that, and a lot of the reason you're in the studio today is not just because, you know, you're recruiting for volunteers, but there is an upcoming training for all interested volunteers. Tell me, what can interested volunteers expect as far as the training?
Okay. We require 12 hours of training to become fully certified for Hospice of Wrangell, for various helpers. So it's been a long time since we've had a formal training with a bunch of people to sit down together and thought, let's just do this, do a big, starting the first part of September and really advertise this and try and get this out and let people know. So we plan to start the week of October 14th for 4 weeks, four sessions. Each session will be 2 to 2.5 hours long. There will be a little bit of homework involved, maybe watching a video or reading a book to equal up to the 12 hours. And the people that have completed that, then we'll have monthly support meetings for the volunteers, an hour meeting every month. And that's what we're doing.
And what exactly are the kinds of things that people will be learning?
We'll review some basic information about what the hospice philosophy is, about the history of our program. We'll talk a lot about confidentiality, because coming in as we do, we're involved in some very intimate personal stuff with people, and people really need to know that privacy will be respected. We'll spend a lot of time on boundaries and how to keep yourself going okay and not to get too involved, how to maintain that distance. We'll talk about just sensitivity to end-of-life issues. What makes for a good death? What makes for quality of life at end of life? What can we do to support that? What's out there that we can use to learn about that? We learn about practical things like infection control and body mechanics, how you can help somebody safely move from the chair to the wheelchair or whatever. And practical ideas of things that we can do with people.
Yeah, that's great. I love all of that. Boundaries, even body mechanics. So it sounds like, you know, even if you're a little nervous about getting involved, Alice is there to help you out. So, Alice, is there anything else we should know about Harriet's Helpers or the volunteer program?
Well, I have to put a plug in for the loan closet because, you know, some people don't realize that the loan, you know, a lot of people know we have a loan closet. I hope you know we have a loan closet of durable medical equipment. We have a nice supply of wheelchairs and walkers, lots of walkers, and crutches and knee scooters and bedside commodes and all kinds of miscellaneous items and hospital beds, too. And we have a good team of folks that are part of our Harriet's Help with Volunteers who are available to help you get that stuff and use it when you need it and return it when you're done. No charge.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, that's a great service to the community. And then, you know, I think maybe just before we leave, Alice, you know, just give me a sense of why this is something you're so involved with.
Well, I was one of the first people that got involved in setting up the first organization meeting back in 2001. It came out of some grant funding through PBS, a series by Bill Moyers called On Our Own Terms. It was a TV series on public broadcasting. And so a lot of communities actually got people together and organized hospice programs because of it. And I was part of the first group, and everyone else has kind of faded away, and I'm still here holding the bag. So we want to get the more people involved.
And why did you personally, you said you saw the documentary, and that kind of yeah. gave you a nudge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I know I had to go through this with my own husband, and I know that the volunteers at the hospice program in Rango were really very helpful to me. I mean, I had two volunteers assigned, and I could contact them, and they would come for an hour or two at a time when I needed help, and it was wonderful. And one night, they arranged to have, so I got a full night of sleep, and I've never forgotten that, having a full night of sleep.
How long ago was that?
12 years ago today.
Today. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Alice, thank you so much for coming on air. Thank you for any time you come into the studio. It's great.
Well, thank you, June.
Yep. So, last thing, if people want to get involved.
Yes, please, please. Okay. You can contact me. My name is Alice Rooney. I have a phone number, which is 907-305-0007. Or you can contact me on email as my last name, Rooney, R-O-O-N-E-Y, at aptalaska.net. Or track me down somehow.
Okay, so Alice will get you all set up. So thank you again. And you have been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:25. And as always, we will be back next week with another guest.